Please repeat.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 10. This chapter describes the branches of the tree named Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 15.
Badasaka Gadadhar Pandita Gosani Teno Lakshmi Rupa Tanra Sama Keha Nahi. Badashaka Gadadhar Pandita Gosani Teno Lakshmi Rupa Tanra Sama Keha Nahi.
Please repeat.
Badasaka.
Badasaka.
Big branch.
Big branch.
Gadadhar Pandit Gosani.
Gadadhar Pandit Gosani.
The descendants or the disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit.
The descendants or the disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit.
Tenho.
Tenho.
Gadadhar Pandit.
Gadadhar Pandit.
Lakshmi Rupa.
Lakshmi Rupa.
Incarnation of the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna.
Incarnation of the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna.
Tanra.
Tanra.
His.
His.
Sama.
Sama.
Equal.
Equal.
Keha.
Keha.
Anyone.
Anyone.
Nahi.
Nahi.
There is none.
There is none.
Translation. Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one, therefore, can equal him. Please repeat. Gadadhar Pandit.
Gadadhar Pandit.
The fourth branch.
The fourth branch
is described as an incarnation,
is described as an incarnation
of the pleasure potency
of the pleasure potency
of Sri Krishna.
Of Sri Krishna.
No one therefore,
no one therefore
can equal him.
Can equal him.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, verses 147 through 153, it is stated, the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari. Who is Vrindavaneshwari? Yes, Vrindavaneshwari, Queen of Vrindavan. Mati Radharani. The pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shyamasundar Vallabha, means beloved of Shyamasundar, or again, Srimati Radharani. The same Shyamasundar Vallabha is now present as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly, as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. In the 12th chapter of this part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants or disciplic succession of Gadadhar Pandit. Text 16. Tanra shishya upa shishya tanra upa saka e mata saba saka upa sakra leka. His disciples and grand disciples are his sub-branches. To describe them all would be difficult. I have been in Dallas on the auspicious occasion of Sri Gadadhar Pandit's appearance day before. And in the past I've always read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita at length. But this morning I thought to read from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. It is a book that Srila Prabhupada did not translate personally, but some of his disciples have translated it. And throughout Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, refers to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat and praises it. And in cases where Chaitanya Bhagavat describes a pastime in detail, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives only a synopsis of it. And he refers his readers to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. There are many pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit and in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, but I thought to read just two or three today, which are very instructive. Gadadhar Pandit was a resident of Navadvip, and he was a fellow student with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Sanskrit school of Gangadas Pandit, and they had many pastimes together as young students. But I will focus on some of the pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit in a more mature age, which will be perhaps more instructive for us. Now, Gadadhar Pandit in Krishna Leela is who? Please, devotees, please speak up.
Radharani.
Yes, Srimati Radharani. And in Krishna Leela, who is Srimati Radharani's father?
Vrishabhanu.
Yes. Yes. And who is Vrishabhanu Maharaj in Chaitanya Lila?
Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Right. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the third branch. Which branch is Gadadhar Pandit?
Fourth.
Yes. And when there was talks of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became completely ecstatic. And sometimes he would say, "Oh Father," because although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So, on one occasion, there was talks of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and the same thing happened. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with transcendental love. Talking about Pundarik Vidyanidhi caused... I'm reading now. Talking about Pundarik Vidyanidhi caused Lord Chaitanya to become absorbed in ecstatic trance. While weeping, he cried out, "O my father, Pundarik." When the Supreme Lord attracts his associate, there is no way that the associate cannot respond. Thus, Pundarik Vidyanidhi suddenly desired to go to Navadvip. Traveling with many disciples, he arrived at Navadvip, but remained incognito there. Incognito means?
Disguised.
Yes, in disguise. Unknown. His actual identity was unknown. Because of this, everyone considered him to be a materialist, attached to a life of comfort and sense enjoyment. Only Mukunda, who is another associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa, knew the truth, because he was an Ayurvedic doctor from Chattogram. Thus, he was well acquainted with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Still, Mukunda did not reveal his identity to anyone. So this is also an instruction that we may not be able to accurately assess the spiritual person, the spiritual position of a person based on the person's appearance. And so we should be careful not to make judgments that could be offensive. Of course, we do have the tendency to make judgments, but we should give the benefit of the doubt to the devotee, or to anyone, generally. Mukunda told Gadadhar Pandit, who was his constant companion, "A very great devotee has come to Navadvipa. You have been hankering for the association of a pure devotee, and now your desire will be fulfilled. I will take you to see this wonderful devotee, and in return, I simply ask that you think of me as your dear servant." They found Pundarik Vidyanidhi comfortably seated at home. Gadadhar Pandit offered his obeisances and was respectfully given a seat. Vidyanidhi asked Mukunda, "What is his name? And from where does he come? His body is effulgent due to rendering devotional service to the Lord." Mukunda replied, "His name is Gadadhar. And from his childhood he has been detached from family life. Externally, he has appeared as the son of Madhava Mishra. He is fully absorbed in devotional service and associates only with devotees. When he heard about you, he was very anxious to meet you. Pundarik Vidyanidhi sat like a prince on his bed, which was made of wood and covered by intricately worked brass. Above his head were three tiers of ornamental canopy. He was seated upon a soft mattress, and supporting his back were silk pillows. Water pots were within reach, and on either side were large ornate mirrors into which he frequently glanced. Pundarik's forehead was decorated with tilak, as well as spots of sandalwood paste. His hair was well groomed and shiny due to the use of perfumed oil. Behind him were two men fanning him with peacock feathers. Due to living a life of pure devotional service, Pundarik Vidyanidhi looked as charming as Cupid. Although those who did not know him would assume that he was a man addicted to a comfortable life. When Gadadhar Pandit saw this luxurious lifestyle, he became suspicious. Because Gadadhar Pandit was a fully renounced soul from his very childhood, it was natural that doubts regarding Pundarik Vidyanidhi entered his heart. He thought, what kind of Vaishnav is this who lives so lavishly? When I heard about his devotional mood, I felt great respect for him. But now, after seeing him, I feel differently. Mukunda could understand Gadadhar's mind, and so he took it upon himself to reveal Pundarik's real nature. In a very sweet voice, Mukunda began reciting a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that describes the glory of devotional service. Quote, How shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to the she-demon, Putana? She was always hankering after the taste of children's blood. With that desire, she smeared poison on her breast and offered it to baby Krishna. Just by offering her breast in that way, Putana achieved such an exalted destination. While listening to this verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi's eyes filled with tears of ecstatic love. Simultaneously, all the symptoms of ecstatic love manifested as he wept, trembled, rolled on the ground, and at last fell into an unconscious state. Suddenly, when he regained consciousness, Pundarik said in a loud voice, "Speak, speak," and once again fell to the ground. Agitated with spiritual emotion, he kicked everything within reach so that all of the valuable paraphernalia became smashed. The brass water pots, the spice containers, the pillows, sheets, and so on. Everything became a confused mess. Pundarik Vidyanidhi began to tear his fine clothes, and his hair became disheveled as he rolled on the floor. He cried out piteously, "O Krishna, my very life and soul, I have been deprived of the Lord's association in his most munificent incarnation." After standing up, when Pundarik suddenly crashed to the floor, everyone thought that his bones would be broken. His body trembled so violently that three people could not hold him still. He kicked everything forcefully as his disciples stood by helplessly. In this way, the storm of ecstatic love continued until it finally abated, so that Pundarik Vidyanidhi fell into a state of unconscious bliss. He lay down without breathing, totally submerged in an ocean of spiritual ecstasy. Astonished at what he had witnessed, Gadadhar Pandit began to worry. Why? Why did Gadadhar Pandit begin to worry?
He felt like he had made an offense.
Yes. Yes, he realized he had committed an offense, so he became alarmed. Astonished at what he had witnessed, Gadadhar Pandit began to worry, thinking, "What great misfortune had overcome me, so that I thought about this great personality in such an offensive manner." Gadadhar embraced Mukunda, being extremely pleased with him. Drenching him with tears of love, he said, "Mukunda, you have acted like a true friend, for you have shown me a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord. It would be very difficult for me to find another devotee like him within the entire creation. Simply by seeing him, one can become totally purified. Mukunda, because of your presence, I have avoided a great catastrophe. When I saw his luxurious lifestyle, I became convinced that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a materialistic devotee, inclined to enjoy sensual pleasures. You could understand my mind, and being very magnanimous, you showed me the extent of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's love for God. My offense can be counteracted only by your mercy. Please be kind to me and purify my heart. All of the devotees who are surrendering to the Lord by executing the process of devotional service have accepted the shelter of a spiritual master and act under his instruction. I do not have any such teacher, and so I have decided to accept Pundarik Vidyanidhi as my spiritual master. I am confident that I can counteract all of my offenses by becoming his sincere disciple." Being very pleased with this decision, Mukunda patted Gadadhar on the back and said, "Very good, very good." Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi was in an ecstatic trance for 6 hours, and then he gradually returned to his normal consciousness and sat down quietly. It was impossible for Gadadhar Pandit to control the tears of joy that profusely rolled down his cheeks and drenched his entire body. Seeing this, Pundarik Vidyanidhi happily embraced him. Mukunda then spoke, revealing Gadadhar Pandit's mind. Quote, "When he first saw your extravagant appearance and surroundings, Gadadhar doubted your sincerity as a devotee. Now he is repentant and wants to take initiation from you. Although he is a young man, he is renounced and very advanced in spiritual understanding. From his childhood, he has been attached to the Supreme Lord. I think that this is a very good match. An elevated spiritual master like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, having an equally disciple, an equally able disciple like Gadadhar Pandit. Please consider all this and then choose an auspicious day to initiate him into the chanting of the Diksha Mantra." Pundarik Vidyanidhi smiled and said, "Rest assured that I will do as you say. It is my great fortune to meet such a gem of a devotee as Gadadhar Pandit. It is the result of many lifetimes of pious activities that one may have such a disciple as he. The forthcoming 12th day of the waxing moon is very auspicious. Come to meet me at that time." Being overjoyed, Gadadhar Pandit offered obeisances and then took leave of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda and Gadadhar went straight to see Lord Gaurachandra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who happily received the news of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's arrival. That night, without being seen by anyone, Pundarik left his associates and came to Lord Gaurachandra's house. And then there's a description of the meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Gadadhar Pandit took permission from Lord Vishwambar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, saying, "I could not understand his uncommon behavior, and so I was disrespectful. To cleanse myself of this sin, I want to become his disciple. For certainly my spiritual master will forgive me." The Lord said, "Yes, take initiation as soon as possible." The next pastime focuses on the loving relationship between Gadadhar Pandit and Nityananda Prabhu. And it took place later in Jagannath Puri. So after Nityananda Prabhu arrived in Puri, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he went to the Jagannath temple to see Lord Jagannath, and thereafter he went to visit Gadadhar Pandit. Thereafter, Lord Nityananda went to meet Gadadhar Pandit at his residence. Gadadhar Pandit had a deity of Gopinath at his house that was so charming it appeared as if Rajendra Kumar himself was standing there. Who's Rajendra Kumar?
Maharaja.
And who's the son of Nanda Maharaj?
Krishna.
Krishna. What a brilliant assembly of devotees. I feel so much joy being with you. It's really wonderful. Gadadhar Pandit had a deity of Gopinath at his house that was so charming it appeared as if Rajendra Kumar himself was standing there. Lord Chaitanya had once embraced this deity. Lord Nityananda shed incessant tears upon seeing the Gopinath deity. When Gadadhar Pandit learned of Nityananda Prabhu's arrival, he immediately got up from his reading from Srimad Bhagavatam and hurried to greet him. After embracing, the two offered obeisances to one another. Indeed, Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Nityananda completely forgot their external circumstances as they floated in the ocean of spiritual happiness. The devotees present were very moved to see such an expression of love and affection. After calming themselves, Gadadhar Pandit and Nityananda Prabhu sat down. Gadadhar Pandit begged Nityananda Prabhu to stay for lunch. Unknown to him, Lord Nityananda had brought a large quantity of fine rice from Bengal to be offered to the Gopinath deity, as well as some exquisite cloth. Lord Nityananda said, "This rice is for offering to Gopinath." After inspecting it, Gadadhar Pandit exclaimed, "I have never before seen such fine rice as this. My Lord, did you bring this rice all the way from Vaikuntha for offering to Gopinath? Only Lakshmi Devi herself is qualified to cook such rice." Gadadhar Pandit took the beautiful cloth and used it to dress the Gopinath deity. Then he began to arrange for the noon offering. He gathered spinach that was growing in his garden and took the leaves from a tamarind sapling to make chutney. After cooking the rice and vegetables, Gadadhar Pandit brought the offering plate before Lord Gopinath. Just at that moment, Lord Chaitanya appeared there, smiling gloriously and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Lord softly called out Gadadhar Pandit's name, and Gadadhar Pandit in turn offered prayers while feeling intense ecstasy. The Lord smilingly said, "My dear Gadadhar, am I not invited to this feast? I am not a stranger. In fact, if you refuse, I will take the prasad by force. I am not going to miss the opportunity of having prasad that was brought by Nityananda, cooked by you, and offered to Lord Gopinath." Both Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit were ecstatic. Gadadhar Pandit brought a plate of prasad and placed it before Lord Gaurachandra, and the fine aroma could be perceived throughout the entire temple and garden. While praising the rice, Lord Chaitanya instructed that the prasad should be divided into three portions, because he desired to eat along with Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. After all were seated, Lord Chaitanya praised the cooking by saying, "Even the aroma of this rice is sure to award anyone with the priceless gem of bhakti. You are such an expert cook. I have never tasted such delectable spinach. I am convinced that you are a cook from Vaikuntha, now appearing on earth. Because the truth is out, there is no need for you to hide any longer. So all of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or most of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the eternal associates, their identities in Krishna Lila were known to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did not reveal his own identity to others. And he similarly did not reveal the identity of his associates. But of course he knew their identities. And therefore, when he praises Gadadhar's cooking, that you must be a resident of Vaikuntha who has come to earth to cook, he knew very well that Gadadhar Pandit was actually Srimati Radharani, who is the supreme cook. I am convinced that you are a cook from Vaikuntha, now appearing on earth. Because the truth is out, there is no need for you to hide any longer. In this way, there was a jovial mood as the three had their meal. After the three had finished, the devotees, who had been anxiously waiting, pounced on the remnants with great delight. At Neelachal, where is Neelachal? What is Neelachal? Jagannath Puri. Fantastic. I am so pleased. At Neelachal, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and Gadadhar Pandit were always together. They went to the temple of Lord Jagannath together and performed Sankirtan together, relishing the ecstasy of Krishna Prema in each other's association. They were a most intimate group, bound by an unbreakable bond of transcendental love. And I will conclude with one other pastime that in a way relates to the pastime of Gadadhar Pandit's initiation. One day, Gadadhar Pandit revealed to the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his desire to be reinitiated. He said, I have revealed my Ishta Mantra, which I received from my Guru, to an undeserving person. Ever since that time, my mind has been disturbed. My Lord, kindly reinitiate me with the same Ishta Mantra. Then my mind will become peaceful and satisfied again. Lord Chaitanya replied, be very careful that you do not commit an offense against your guru. As long as your mantra guru is present, you cannot go to anyone else, not even to me. This would jeopardize your spiritual life as well as mine. Gadadhar Pandit replied, at present, my guru is not here, So I request you to kindly do the needful. The Lord replied, your guru is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Providence will arrange for you to meet him soon. In fact, he will soon come here to Jagannath Puri in about 10 days to see me. For the past few days, I have been thinking much about him, and now I understand that you are also pulling him here like a magnet. Lord Gaurasundar spent much of his time with Gadadhar Pandit, listening to his readings of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord heard the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj many hundreds of times. But every time he would listen with completely rapt attention. Lord Chaitanya heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit alone. Similarly, he heard Krishna Guna Kirtan from Swarup Damodar Goswami, who sang as the Lord danced in ecstatic trance. When Pundarik Vidyanidhi arrived at Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya immediately knew it. Soon, by the Lord's desire, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was drawn to the place where he was awaiting his arrival. Upon seeing Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the Lord, overjoyed, exclaimed, my father has come. Sri Vidyanidhi experienced such ecstasy that he became Premanidhi, an ocean of love for God. Lord Chaitanya firmly embraced Vidyanidhi while crying tears of joy, and the devotees also began to weep. In the Lord's presence, Sri Vidyanidhi met his companion, Swarup Damodar. Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Swarup Damodar Goswami were extremely close, intimate friends. Desiring to take one another's foot dust, they jostled and pushed each other down on the floor. But being equally matched, neither could gain the advantage. All the while, the Lord and his associates enjoyed the transcendental competition with laughter. After a while, they settled down, and Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Vidyanidhi, please stay with us at Neelachal for some time. Hearing this, Pundarik Vidyanidhi became ecstatic. At this time, Gadadhar Pandit took advantage of the opportunity to be reinitiated into the chanting of his Ishta Mantra from his guru, Srila Vidyanidhi. And this incident takes place very close to the end of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which actually ends with a further description of the pastimes of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Hare Krishna. So, would any of you like to share any thoughts, comments, insights, or ask any questions? Yes?
Do you know if the
the associates of Mahaprabhu were from Krishna Lila. While they're in the Chaitanya Lila, are they fully cognizant of their real identity? Were they covered by yoga maya in such a way that they just think they're like ordinary individuals?
That is a good question. He asked whether the eternal associates of Krishna who appeared in Chaitanya Lila were aware of their identities in Krishna Lila. And the general answer is no, they're not aware. They're covered by yoga maya, and they identify with themselves as they are in Gaur Lila. And so they're not aware of their own identities, and they're not aware of each other's identities. But they're all drawn to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association and to each other's association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he sometimes manifests awareness of his identity as Krishna, sometimes he forgets that he's Krishna and manifests the mood of a devotee of Krishna. So you see contradictory behavior in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At one moment he can be asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the next moment he can be manifesting extreme humility as a devotee of the Lord. But they also do get inklings of, because even not an ordinary sadhaka, but an advanced sadhaka who is unaware of his eternal identity in devotional service, even an advanced sadhaka begins to get a sense of who he is or who she is in Krishna Lila. So because they were playing the parts of devotees, so as devotees they are also aspiring to, you know, develop love for Krishna and enter into eternal service to Krishna. And so as aspiring devotees, they could get some sense of who they are. Perhaps not the exact person, but, you know, as a cowherd boyfriend or as a gopi girlfriend, like that. But although they weren't aware of their previous connections in Krishna Lila, the same mood or the same affection would be manifest for each other, similar to their affection in Krishna Lila. Yes.
We understand, we've heard Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Narayana, that Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined. But at the same time, I'm confused, because at the same time, Sri Radha Pandit is also Radharani. How do they go together?
Yes, that's a very good question, too. Although Gadadhar Pandit is the incarnation of the pleasure potency of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, he completely subdues his nature as Srimati Radharani to support
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Srimati Radharani. There is a beautiful explanation of the appearance days of Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Gadadhar Pandit. Sri Krishna appeared on the Ashtami, Janmashtami. And Srimati Radharani's appearance day is 15 days later, also on Ashtami, Radhashtami. But one Ashtami was of the waxing moon and the other was of the waning moon. So they were like two half moons. Two different half moons. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on Purnima, Gaur Purnima. So the two half moons combined together and became full moon. And Gadadhar Pandit appeared on Amavasya, which means no moon, because he was completely, you know, subduing his actual mood in order to be the humble servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and facilitate him and his mood of Srimati Radharani. Yes?
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. So this pastime of Purivridhini illustrates how it's very difficult to understand the position of a devotee.
Maybe.
And in Nectar of Instruction, it talks about how we have to understand the devotee's position in order to relate properly. So the question is, what would be some points to understand what is the difference between the devotee who's fallen and is addicted to the breaking the regular principles versus someone who actually is a sahaja, that does the same thing, but how do you distinguish the two? Sahaja means taking it easy, and then you have somebody who that is devoted, but also, I don't know, what is the distinction?
Well, I'm not exactly clear about what you said at the end, but in the case of Srila Rupa Goswami's instructions of in the Nectar of Instruction, he first mentions the six exchanges of love, Dadati Pratigrinati, and then he explains different classes of devotees. Those who have just chanted the holy name once, you know, or just beginning. Those who are regularly chanting the holy name and have taken initiation and are engaged in the service of the Lord. And then the highest, who are, you know, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and completely devoid of the tendency to criticize others. And Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport that how to apply the sixfold love exchanges how to intelligently apply the sixfold loving exchanges is explained, you know, because the verse explains that if someone is, you know, chanted the holy name once or is just beginning to chant, one offers him
respects within the mind. In other words, you don't have to, I mean, this is not for a preacher, but just internally, one, you know, offers respects within the mind. In other words, no matter how advanced or not advanced a devotee is, means anyone who chants the holy name, one should offer respect. But if, you know, if the devotee is not particularly of good character, one can offer respect within the mind. Still offer respect within the mind. In other words, you don't necessarily have to engage with the person. But if someone is, you know, regularly chanting the holy name, has taken initiations, engaged in the service of the deity, then you should offer respectful obeisances. And you should faithfully serve that Vaishnava who's always engaged in devotional service and is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. As far as the last part of your question, I couldn't quite understand the distinction. I mean, in relation to Pundarika Vidyanidhi, he didn't break any regulated principles. He was just living in an opulent lifestyle. But yeah, I think those who, like Sahajiyas, they chant the holy name, but they're not of good character. So generally that type of devotee would be in the category of someone we offer respects to within the mind, but we don't associate with.
Sometimes our consciousness, they'll be very comfortable for service, chanting, but also take the intoxication, or maybe they never even give it up. So, is that sahajism, or is that there's a certain point? Is it like a, you start to justify it philosophically? Or?
You're talking about devotees who chant Hare Krishna, but they don't follow the regulative principles strictly. So what is their psychology or what is their mentality? Well, it would vary from case to case. I mean, some could be sahajiyas who take things very cheaply, and they're not humble enough or aware enough to understand their fallen condition. And there may be others who are, you know, sober and humble, who recognize that they're fallen, they're chanting and they want to be purified, and they realize that they repent for their inability to follow the regulative principles properly. So that is the mood that a devotee should have. And then there are others who, as you said, they try to justify it. You know, oh, it's not such a big thing. Oh, it's not practical. Yeah, maybe for one in a million, but, you know, they make excuses. But the real mood is described very nicely in the 11th canto. The devotee is convinced that all sense gratification leads to misery. But even being convinced, and wanting to give up sense gratification, he's unable to give it up. And so the devotee, it's recommended that he continues in devotional service, while sincerely repenting his activities. And he continues in a happy mood. And it might sound contradictory that he's repenting for his fall downs, but at the same time he's continuing in a happy mood. Preeta, and so how is it that he's continuing in a happy mood? The answer is that he's in a thick relationship with the Lord, who's like his father. And he knows that his father will never reject him. And that one day his father will be merciful to him. He knows that he cannot give up his weaknesses on his own, that he needs help. And he's confident that the Lord, his Supreme Father, will one day be merciful to him. It may be in this life, it may be, today or tomorrow, it may be in a year or in 10 years, it may be in this life or in 10 lifetimes or 100 lifetimes. But he's confident that one day his Lord will be merciful and he will be able to give up his weakness, overcome his weakness. And so he continues in a happy mood. Any other questions or comments? All right, well, thank you very much. It is a very auspicious day. And we'll meet again in the evening. Not sure of the exact schedule, but I heard at 6 o'clock, Her Grace Swapnavilas Dasi, who arrived at what time? 12:15. But she's still here in the temple room for the morning program. So she'll be getting second initiation. And she has been she lives in Parsons, Kansas. Have you ever heard of it? I've never heard of it. So she lives in Parsons, Kansas. And but there are two Prabhupada disciples who have a small temple and community in Kansas. In fact, that couple of Prabhupada disciples were in Dallas for a little while. His name is Indranuja Das, and his wife's name is Lalita Sati Dasi. And so they have been her, very major source of association and guidance and encouragement. So they're also coming down from Kansas for this auspicious occasion. So I believe it will be begin at six in the evening. Well, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Gadadhar Pandit Ki Jai.